Hey everyone, it's Kendra Rommel with the Rommel Report. This is a podcast where I interview the who's who within my community to build your business and help you build your network. Most of all, build your wealth portfolio. Join me on my adventures with friends where I interview them to get you the most valuable content for your business so you too can scale up. I'm sitting across from James Wong of Maxa Design. He originally started out as a stranger and quickly became a friend and a professional partner. So let's talk about that, James. Let's tell the world how we met.
Sure. So this happened back like 3 years ago, right? In San Diego. I was there to meet with a client. So this is client. They're at this coaching event in San Diego. And they're like, meet us here. You can pitch us your product there. I was like, okay. So I drive all the way down there. I drive with my surfboards, my wetsuit. I'm like ready to go like hang in San Diego after this meeting. And I show up. The guy that I end up meeting was really, really just awful of a person. I really didn't care for him at all. He was rude and he just like kind of left me there. So I was like, well, I'm here. I might as well walk in and or sneak in and just like see what's it all about.
I emphasize the word sneak. He really did sneak in. I didn't find this out until later. I wouldn't condone that behavior for the record.
So I'm walking around this vendor fair and you're there. And I'm like, oh, she seems cool. Oh, private money. I think, you know, I could possibly show this, what we're doing to her. So, but the funny thing is I didn't really like tell you what I was doing. I kind of just like stood around you and just like talk to you about random things. And I could tell you're like, what does this dude want? What does he want from me? And I was like, she's cool. I just talked to her for a little bit. Plus everyone else seemed not as cool. So,
that's nice.
and so we just talked. And then eventually I was like, look, I want to show you something, not here obviously, but I'll reach out to you and we'll set up a time to meet at your office.
So, couple things. What he left out. So clearly there's two sides to every story. I'm standing there and manning the civic booth as a sponsor of this event that he snuck into without paying an attendee fee, not knowing this at the time. I start talking, thinking he wants to engage because he potentially is investing in real estate. Yeah. And as he's talking and we get into an hour long conversation, because I go nowhere except stand there all day. So I'm engaging with a person. I'm thinking this guy's nice, cool, good background. I finally say to him, so what can I do for you? And it turns out that all I extract from this hour and a half conversation, other than he's cool, and it's been great blowing an hour and a half of my booth time with him, that I really need to connect him with my marketing department. Well, he follows up with me about a week later, and he insists upon coming to my headquarters because he wants to talk to me about this private money company that he's going to launch. I'm thinking, interesting.
Yeah, I forgot I was doing that.
Right.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we meet at my Civics headquarters, and what he pitched to me was not at all what he was going for. Although he was taking in information, what we ended up doing is going through Maxa Designs, and a light bulb went off, and I thought, this is something we could use as a marketing department who was very young at the time, and we were spending a lot of money on marketing, and I thought we could eliminate bodies and make this a one-click process while we figure out our branding, our messaging, and the content that we wanted to put out to each and every one of you. So in that, James was introduced by myself to our marketing director and immediately hit it off because obviously he's not a very likable person. And so anyway, we started using Maxa as an organization, and by no way is this an endorsement, but rather like this crazy friendship was built off of because this guy basically hopped the fence of an event. And so, you know, the real message here is the craziest relationships happen in the most scripted ways in our life. And that's really what these interviews are about, is really like connecting the world with people and the relationships I've built that I feel like everyone should value from. And so without getting crazy boring and granular, because everyone really should see what you do, please tell people about what is Maxa Designs.
Yeah, sure. So Maxa, and Civic uses it really well, is a marketing templates and design platform. So what we did is I've been in design and branding for the last 8 years, worked with 600 plus corporate companies. And one thing we realized was every company needs to hold their brand standards. And the better they do at having everyone in their company, their associates, their staff, use the brand that was created, the more solidified it will be in the community and in the industry. And one way to do that, though, is to create templates. And the thing, though, is every company is creating templates, but their marketing department was having to grow still because of all the custom requests. You know, like you, Kendra, would ask your marketing department for a certain flyer or a certain brochure. And we wanted a way to empower the associates or the staff to create their own marketing materials inside of a brand guidelines that we designed for them. And so this turned into this really amazing concept where my design team, there's 15 of us, would design the entire brand, all the marketing materials, all the social media, all the email marketing for one company. Then we would make it available for the associates and staff to log in, have access to all the marketing materials, all the templates, and then they could create whatever they needed, day-to-day social media, all their flyers, all their one-pagers. And then if we wanted to have compliance over it, the leadership in every company can manage what was being published before it could get published so that there would be overall brand consistency. We'd streamline the entire process, and it's been really cool. We've had over 120 plus corporate companies partner with us. We now get to design for all these different brands. There's probably like 30,000 users on the platform. And
it's crazy.
One thing that I'm really proud of is in the last 3 years of launching, we've had zero partners really leave us. Mm-hmm. So it's been really neat that everyone stayed on board. We continue to design for all of them. It's been a really neat way to distribute branded content and at the same time, like you said, lower marketing expense, because we're a fraction of a cost of a marketing department. Mm-hmm. And we provide unlimited design work. So anytime like Civic asks us for something, we're on it, we design it for them, and work with their marketing team.
So I want to stop right there for a second, because I want to highlight a component of Maxa that I think is a differentiator, in that it isn't just a platform.
Right.
You have real people, real professionals, not just people who know how to use, you know, their Mac and click and drag. These are people that are highly creative, mm-hmm. with a very impressive resume that you have hand selected to be part of your staff. To support whatever the client's needs are.
Yes. Totally. We have clients that launch their brand, their brokerage, mm-hmm. with our platform, because we do all the branding work for them, mm-hmm. to announce their new brokerage. And now they get to recruit to it because it solves a big problem for all the associates,
right.
who don't want to hire their own marketing assistant, who don't have to wait to do the back and forth with the marketing director. They can just do it themselves. So it's a big tool. And a big solution when it comes to the design work. Like what do you do when your staff needs design work? Maxa was able to solve that problem.
Now, I know Maxa has kind of evolved like many companies. As you scale, you figure out kind of your groove and your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Are you industry specific? Are you real estate specific? Are you realtor emphasis or finance industry specific within the real estate sector? Like what is that?
I would say right now 50% is in real estate, mm-hmm. and 50% is in lending.
Okay.
So we work with a ton of national mortgage companies, ton of boutique brokerages, private money companies, wholesale banks. They all kind of, any company with a lot of associates, mm-hmm. or a large sales force, mm-hmm. is our perfect client.
Okay. So when we're talking about your perfect client, are you looking to capture managing someone's consistent presence, like social media presence? And we'll kind of circle back on this in a second, but are you managing a person who's coming out, trying to brand themselves on social media platforms and websites, et cetera, et cetera? Or are you looking for somebody who's already kind of, they're looking to rebrand, they're looking for their execs or their leadership team to manage a kind of a 4,000 foot level that they can push out?
Yeah.
What is kind of, that's a broad spectrum.
So we work with all of them in that industry.
Okay.
So we have, you know, I started a mortgage company with three loan officers, and they were like, we still need this system. It's way more affordable than hiring a full-time graphic designer. So they signed with us today. We started them today.
That's awesome.
Then we've got clients like Berkshire Hathaway, California Properties, you know, 40 offices, 6,000 plus agents, all on the system. So it's kind of neat because I would say a majority of our clients are boutique or they're independent. And so they use us mainly for our design, that fulfillment, and then the design editor that we host them on our platform. And then we've got like 20% that are corporate that use like all our features and help us evolve our brand, our product, including Civic. Like, you know, we're constantly developing new things for you guys that then everyone gets to benefit from, because you guys come up with some of the most really neat things.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that way, right? But we have tunnel vision in whatever we are doing every single day, right? And so I kind of want to talk about that as a individual within a large organization. Obviously, my organization is behind you. But as an individual trying to separate myself, and as a team or as a salesperson or as a real estate agent, that even if you have a company mind, you are individually branding every single day. Yeah. You're developing relationships as an individual, right? The push is develop your presence online, right?
Through content.
Yeah, through content. But what is content, right?
Yeah.
A person with a sales or a business development mindset doesn't truly know what content means, right?
Totally.
So share with us what you would say to that person, that individual who's looking to put themselves out there, but doesn't know how to put themselves out there.
Yeah. So the best way I can explain content for like that top producer who is very focused on business development and their relationships is content is selling yourself through leverage. Mm-hmm. It's the coolest thing because, you know, if you sit down with someone and you're showing them your value proposition one-on-one, that's one hour of your time that you to show this person what you do. Mm-hmm. But if you create a video or write a blog,
it's going viral,
and you or some type of content like a video, a blog, an email newsletter, showcasing your value, and that took you an hour, but that video reached 100 people, you just exponentially grew your leverage by 100 people, and for that same hour of effort. So for me, that's the power of marketing.
So do you think that just putting yourself on camera or putting yourself in a photograph is necessarily in capturing that audience, right? Whoever your audience is, whether it's 100, 500, 1,000, or if you're paying for additional audience, do you think that is enough? Or what do you think that, is there a pitch?
Yeah.
Is there specific content?
Totally.
What is it?
That's
what does that look like?
That's such a great question, because that's why branding is so important. Because there needs to be a narrative behind everything you publish. All of your content should have a narrative that people can engage and fall in love with.
Right.
And I say fall in love because it is so true. Like, people fall in love with brands.
Right.
There's a reason why you can pretty much get from here to San Francisco in a Audi versus a Porsche, pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Or an Audi and a Toyota. But why does
tell
someone
tell us about that? You just bought one, so let's talk about it.
I know. Actually, I was up like really late last night, like watching this video. This YouTube video where they like drove 12 of the like most expensive cars of last year, 2019, and like the car that
I just purchased
was number one. They ranked it number one, so I was like on fire about that narrative.
Yeah.
But you should have a brand, and that's why brand company people who love marketing do really well, in my opinion, especially if they're in sales, like a
like you or a real estate agent or a real estate team, someone who brands themselves really well, mm-hmm. they do, because there needs to be a reason, more reason why someone wants to work with you. So great example, there's 13,000 agents in Southern California, sorry, in just LA County, mm-hmm. not including Orange County, San Diego County.
Right.
I think there's another 22,000 in Orange County. Mm-hmm. They all do kind of the same thing. Like they move right. people from A to B.
Right, right, right.
Or, you know, you lend money. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't make it sound like that. It's actually super fun.
Oh, dude, if I was not doing what I'm doing, I'd be in your game all day. But
you could be on the Rommel team.
I could.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'd have to talk about it.
So if that's the functionally, as an attribute, what you do is your value proposition is to move people from A to B as a realtor. There's two other attributes you should consider. One is your emotional attribute. Emotionally, how do you make people feel? Are you the ambitious, you know, powerhouse, get everything done? And so when the client works with you, they feel very confident
yeah.
that you're gonna bash through doors to make sure that you get them what they want. Or are you the nurturing person who helps them with transitions mm-hmm. and you're catering to everyone's that's involved in that transition? Mm-hmm. And so I've worked with broker, realtors who make $1 million a year at super supportive, very nurturing, non-aggressive. It's amazing to watch them. They're just, everyone refers them because they're the nicest person in the world. And then I've seen power couples that are like kill it. They're making seven right. figures and they're just the badasses in the industry. And everyone wants their sign on in front of their house.
Right.
But there's a story to them. So great example. I worked with this. I'm not gonna say his name, but he's a realtor. 24 years old, total newbie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Newbie.
Like he shouldn't be, he's like door knocking and he's like got all these listings. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get all these listings in his area, this area called in Los Feliz in LA. Mm-hmm. Zero, like just nothing. He's got no response from any of these people. Mm-hmm. And he's like working really hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, you look like a punk. Like no one wants to work with you. And I'm like, let me help brand you. You know, yeah. So he's like, "What do you mean?" I was like, "Well, let's develop a brand entity, not your name. Let's create a whole new concept."
Right.
So we named his brand Elevate, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Elevate Los Angeles." The whole idea was like to elevate your lifestyle, elevate your living, right. and let's create this really gorgeous modern website. Let's redo all the marketing materials. Let's do a photo shoot for you. We went to I forget the name of the restaurant. It's like this sushi restaurant mm-hmm. on top of a mountain, mm-hmm. Yoshinoya or something like that. And
that sounds really bad. That's a really cheap, low budget.
No, yeah, you're right.
Takeout.
Not that's that bad. One. No. It's like Yamashiro. That's the name.
Okay.
So, we go up there. We shoot this super classy photo shoot. Put him in like a nice car. Like put him in a suit. Anyways, he launches the brand. Super cool. Within the first month, he gets two new listings. That's one of them is a $2 million listing. It was like the neatest thing. And then, now it's like 2 years later, he's just bought his second fourplex on his own. Like he's building wealth.
That's so cool.
And, we stay in touch because, he still uses the same brand. And I'm just so happy for him because it's the perception, but it's also the story he was telling. It's like
I was just going to say, so... Two things out of this, yeah. right? What my takeaway is, not being in marketing, is brand matters,
yeah.
right? We keep yeah. hearing it. Yeah. Lots of people are talking about it, whether you are a professional coach, a mentor,
right.
a marketing person.
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about branding yourself, right? What do you represent, right?
Yeah.
We are working in a space with, you talk about all these different age groups being classified as millennials, Gen Z, Gen right. X, right? And they have these common denominators across the different ages. And this generation that is moving the marketplaces is captivated by businesses who make them feel, right?
Totally.
So totally. That's why the brand content is become so important, mm-hmm. right? So whether we understand it or we don't, we need to get with it,
yeah.
right?
And
this is a great case in point. But more than that, I think it's hard for a salesperson or a business development person to sit down and say, what do I want to represent?
Right.
Not just today, but forever potentially, right? So how can you speak to that? How can you coach to that? Can you, or is it a self-awareness thing?
I mean, the first thought was like, they should put a budget together and hire a company to do
hire
it for them.
Design.
Yeah, yeah. Hire a company to do it. That's like, it's pretty, you know, when you hire an agency or even just working with a graphic designer to help you build your brand, putting that budget there is really important. I mean, I can't tell you, I would say 80% of mortgage companies I've gotten to work with, they don't really put a budget towards
it.
And it shows.
Right.
Versus other really great mortgage companies, they're all about marketing. And so I'll break down like how I define branding. Branding is an extraordinary commitment to creating a remarkable conversation. And so
that's a fantastic statement.
It's an extraordinary commitment to creating a remarkable conversation. And conversation, it could be about building wealth. It can be about living a certain lifestyle. It could be about family, you know, but what's the conversation you're creating through all the content that's being pushed? So you can't just go on, like, sometimes I see that, like people just say, just get on and record yourself. And it's like, dude,
there's no meat and potatoes.
There's no remarkable conversation that built that's the foundation of the brand.
Right.
And then how I define marketing is it's a remarkable commitment, so it's an extraordinary commitment to promoting that remarkable conversation. How you promote the conversation you're about, that's our life. It's how we distinguish ourselves. And there's a conversation that everyone's interested in. Not everyone is interested in Equinox's conversation.
Right.
And some people are actually really interested in, what's that
mattress?
No. That gym, it's super cheap. It's like $8 a month, you know, for this new gym.
Planet Fitness,
right?
I'm like, why do I know that?
Yeah, okay. So like, some people are interested in that conversation, real cheap, really convenient, and that's what they want. And then some aren't. Some want to go to Equinox. Some people, you know, that's their thing. So it's like, who are you, what's the conversation you want to create? And then who's that conversation created for?
The audience,
catered to,
right.
Yeah. You gotta get real specific.
Right.
Like I would say, like this is funny, but like I love working with ballers. That's like my thing, you know?
Ballers.
Yeah, so like you're a baller, Kendra, you know? Like I'll do any kind of project with you because it's just cool. Or like I like working with a lot of like mortgage companies or like real estate companies that get what we do. They're always like the top producers. And they're like, they kind of have an ego. They're kind of alpha in whatever the way they are. And they're like my favorites because they're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's create this. Let's make sure this thing's the baddest thing ever. And that's my favorite. Like I have like any other kind of client. I love, and I say ballers because it's mainly the foundational. If you go to our website, you can tell we work with leaders. Mm-hmm. That's like our thing. Mm-hmm. Our software is built for leaders. It's built for leadership management. It's built to promote the brand that the leadership is creating. We do all the things that we do. Like the whole staff is trained to know that like our client is the leadership of that
whatever
that
organization
that uses our system.
So let's kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about James Wong.
Sure.
Let's talk about how you arrived at developing your company. And has your heart and mind always been to develop a marketing company?
No, I would say my like purpose in life is like super deep, but like
do it, it's dive.
Like, it's to create an environment for people to give their fullest gifts. That's what I've been always been about. Like
that's what this is about.
Yeah, man. You know, like it's the whole thing is I think there's a lot that we have to offer to the world, and we do it through our spirit, our leadership, our skills, our experience, and. For me, it never ends. That's our secret. It's like to constantly look for ways to give our fullest gifts. Agreed. And so I started just doing trainings at like offices on like how to use technology, you know, like it was like, you know, and then when we started branding, I was doing branding. I was like, great. I'll be honest, like man, I was doing logos for like $75, you know? And I don't even know how to design, you know? I would like, I had like a college friend, and like we started together like 8 years ago, two punks, 20 years old, like just looking for ways to add value, really, mm-hmm. and give our fullest gifts. And then there was a moment where I committed. I was like, I'm gonna be, you know, I'm gonna be a seven-figure earner. Like that to me was like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
And
how old were you when you started, even with your $75 present?
I was like 19.
Logos.
Okay. Yeah, I was like 19.
Okay.
And every, you know, that first year we did, you know, it was cool though. I mean, I worked hard and we broke the six-figure mark. It was like, okay.
That's
like,
so cool.
Yeah, it was like, I was inspired by everyone else. And I was like, I want to do it. Before that, I was like a minimalist and I like only owned 120 things. I had everything I owned lived in my backpack. And then like one of my friends was like, dude, we're going to go to Hawaii. Do you want to go? I was like, dude, I'm a minimalist. I don't have any money. And that's what like, they're like, dude, you need to go like, fix that. And then I was like, yeah, I should, you know? So anyways, I started doing this. I committed. I was like, all right, I'm going to figure out how to earn a lot. That was like my next big goal. I think every young guy wants to do that. And so I...
Guy, girl.
I was just talking about myself.
Got it.
And like the journey.
Yeah.
And I never... Like how I got to Maxa was I never stopped iterating. It was like I focused on what I wanted. That's like my big saying. Like I was like, focus on what you want, not what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And so it was always like, as I was learning and failing and like clients would get mad at me and you know, it was like, okay, what do I want though? It's like, I want a badass company that really supports a lot of companies and I wanted to earn a lot. And the way I was gonna do that was just iterate every year, every month, we'd look at everything and say, okay, this doesn't work, this is a problem, like how do we make it better? And how do we build something as valuable enough where we could earn a lot of money? And
then at this
scale. Yeah, but not scale like crazy, because
controlled
scale.
Right.
I mean, even now I have a business coach, mm-hmm. super amazing. She built one of the largest coaching systems in the world. And I got, when she stopped working there, I like got in there and like got her to coach me.
Tackled her.
Yeah, I was like, you gotta coach me.
Yeah.
So she's been coaching me for like the last like year.
So not to interrupt you, but you're saying so many things that are triggering some kind of points that I want to share with people, because I know how hard it is or was for me as a professional to find. So one, you mentioned you had certain markers that kept you going along the way. Yeah. I associate that with goals,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yes, it's true that you set goals for yourself.
Oh, 100%. I have a goal. I have a monthly goal and a weekly goal.
Okay, perfect.
And then there's the year goal, which I do around my birthday. Instead of, you know, everyone
so
does
you can
it,
celebrate.
Everyone does like their January goals.
Yeah.
Or they're like, I don't know, whenever they do it. I do it around my birthday, which is like funny. The whole company revolves the goals for the company revolves around my birthday.
That's good.
It's like hilarious.
It's your company.
I know.
Do you create within those goals, do you create a map or a plan to get to achieve those goals?
I do. So I think, you know, everyone that's going to watch this video, they're probably not just starting their company where it's like,
of course not.
Like they don't know how to make money type of thing. Ours is like, we know we hit a certain amount of units.
Right.
We would hit the earnings that we would want.
Right.
It's very clean. It's like nice to know, like, oh, if I just do these many deals, I'm going to do what I want to do. So I have minimum goals and then I have maximum goals. Mm-hmm. So like by September, I have a minimum amount of income I needed to earn or like the goals I wanted to hit by September. And then there's like the financial goals, there's our cultural goals, there's our feature goals, like all the different technology we want to build before September. And then we have this thing called max goals. So a lot of people don't have max goals, but we do where we won't outgrow ourselves. Mm. And it's actually a really small margin. It's actually a 20% difference. Mm. So it's a minimum number. Max is 20% above that number. And the following year, that minimum and maximum grows by another 20%. And the reason why we do that, because my whole thing is, no matter what, I will die if I do not hit that minimum. And it's the mentality is very like Will Smith, Tony Robbins, you know, it's like, yeah. I will die. I will never not hit that minimum.
But some would argue, like from an athletic perspective, yeah. I would argue that once you create a mental state that that's your minimum,
yeah.
you've almost resolved to that being an okay number. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're settling.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever rowed, but if you've ever been on a rowing machine yeah. or actually rowing, the first couple strokes, maybe your adrenaline's crazy and you're going into it and it's probably more aggressive and then you settle in, but it still requires the kicker in the end, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what keeps you from settling and not just accepting that versus elevating to that maximum goal, which I think is something that honestly yeah. a lot of entrepreneurs and professionals struggle with.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would say the minimum is very strategic and the maximum is very strategic. So it's not settling because they're already hard goals. Mm-hmm. So they're like hard.
Hard to achieve.
Yeah, hard. Like my fitness coach was always like, I want you to go harder than when you went last week. Go harder, you know? Right. So like every year we go harder. That's how we've been able to consistently grow in the last 8 years. It was just, we go harder every year, but not too much. Because I'll tell you the story. Did you ever hear about the story about the two like European sled masters? I'm totally gonna blow this story. I'm gonna blow it, but I'm gonna try to give it.
Someone's gonna call you on
someone's
this
gonna
and this
totally
is
call
all
me.
You.
So the story goes, you got this guy, super charming, amazing, like athletic, like badass who, decides he's going to compete to be the first to sled with dogs. Like hike.
Oh no.
Something
this
like that.
This is getting worse.
This is getting bad. Hike across like the
Maybe we should scratch this.
I'm just gonna give I'll give the whole story like
Cliff note me.
All of Antarctica. And okay. they're like gonna hike the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the other guy, there's another guy who's gonna compete who like is gonna hike the whole thing. And there's like two versions. One guy's his strategy was, if I feel good, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna go harder. So he goes up and he hikes like, he starts his first like 3 days hiking like 100 miles a day. And then on his fourth day, it like snows. So he like tells his guys, they're like, let's just sleep. And then he goes again he hikes another 100. And the next day he's like, I'm not tired. I'm gonna go 20 miles the next day. So yeah. It's really inconsistent.
Right.
And the other guy, this is a real story. I'm totally blowing the story, but this is a real story. He goes 20 miles a day. That's it. Rain or wind, doesn't matter if there's no food, doesn't matter. He goes, I'm doing 20 a day, 20 a day. Pretty much at the end of it, the guy that did 20 a day wins the whole march,
yeah.
the whole race. Mm-hmm. And the concept is, we'd rather have minimum goals that you hit every year that you never allow yourself to, like that guy said, I'm not gonna do 19 miles. And if we're all exhausted, we're doing 20, mm-hmm. no matter what. Mm-hmm. And the no matter what perspective gets you to get on the phone, make those appointments set. Like I used to do two a days. That was my thing. It's like no matter what, for the end of the day, I scheduled two appointments where I could pitch. Mm-hmm. something or mm-hmm. propose something. Mm-hmm. And if you did that every day, two a day, that's 10 a week, that's 40 a month.
Totally.
No one that even on their best day is gonna do 40.
Agreed.
That's where it's strategic
right.
to have the minimum, because there's no matter what, we hit the minimum. The max is great, but here's where it gets hard is the following year, you have to grow your minimum by 20%. So that means if you get
You're consistently scaling. It doesn't matter.
No matter what. So if you earned $500,000 last year, mm-hmm. and you got to grow that by 20%, that means you've got to add $100,000 to what you did last year. But that means you still have to do what you did last year. So that means you got to hit $600,000 the following year. It's like so actually harder than you think it would be.
No, it is hard.
Yeah, it's super hard.
And actually, it's funny you're bringing this up, because I just talked to one of my coaches and a friend who was talking about do not base or utilize what was as your base,
right,
to grow, but instead you're starting fresh. Utilize that as resourceful knowledge of what happened. Be grateful for what was, and then you're starting fresh,
yeah,
right? So, and I say that because sometimes, let's say you have a great year, whatever business yeah. you're in, right? Whatever profession, you have a fantastic year. If that becomes your new base and you have a slow, the market changes, whatever those circumstances are, I feel like you can get mentally sideways and off your game if you're creating your base from what was,
yeah,
right? So how do you, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You have to consistently scale and have a number to scale from.
Yeah.
But how do you adjust for these inconsistencies? You don't. You just keep rising.
Rain or shine.
That's awesome.
Wind doesn't matter. You just, I will die if I don't hit that. You just march that 20 miles. And so market sucks, make more phone calls.
Right.
You know, like that's like the secret.
Well, it is the secret. You know what's so funny is it sounds so basic, right?
Yeah, I know.
Like people are like, why are you successful, right?
Yeah.
And I say, I swing my legs out every single day,
exactly,
right? I mean, how do you get up at 4 a.m. and go work out? I don't think about it.
Yeah.
I just swing my legs out, right?
Exactly.
Like every day I'm broke. Every day I'm, you know, on the verge of a heart attack or something,
yeah,
right? Like there is no thought into, I should do something different than what I know is correct, right? So unless you get mental about it and don't create that. So yeah. I appreciate that. And I wanted to hone in on that because I do believe that that plays a role in branding yourself. Sometimes it's not about creating the brand, but just allowing yourself to be authentic,
yeah,
to me, you know? And that is where you shine to me. And that's where I think you have been successful. Obviously you work hard. Obviously you have a passion that you've explained.
Yeah.
It's obvious in your work. It's great work. And anyone who gets to demo it, I think the results speak for themselves. So, I'm grateful for your friendship. We could go and talk forever, but, for the sake of this, I want to just be, respectful of your time and just say like, thanks for hanging out. I'm so grateful you snuck into that conference like 3 years ago.
You're like so tight. That's great.
I know. If yeah. anyone wants to reach out to you for a demo for Maxa Design or just marketing consultation,
yeah,
how do they do that?
So you go to Maxa, M-A-X-A, designs with an S, .com. There's a Calendly link there that's actually going to reach me because I run all of that myself. And it's pretty cool. I'm very high touch. Would love to meet you. And you can also email me at james@maxadesigns.com.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
What does the future look like for you, James, as a person?
I just invested. And so I was in El Salvador 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was there for a surf trip. I'm not even the best surfer. I just wanted to go learn, like get better. And I was there. I fell in love with the staff, the Salvadorian culture, the people. Haley, my fiance, and I fell in love with the owners. Anyways, the last day, the owner came up to me and was like, hey, we really are going to miss you guys, your Cash, your son. We want to offer you something. Do you want a massage from our masseuse right before you guys leave on your flight? And I was like, no, but here's what I do want. I want to invest in this resort. And they were like, what? And I was like, yeah, like, let me in on this. I love what you guys have built here. Mm-hmm. The whole project, it's called the Anti-Resort,
uh-huh,
which is like, 5-star amenities inside of a jungle. So they're in a jungle
cool.
with a private
so
beach
cool.
with like the most amazing waves. And he was like, you know what's so funny? We've been wanting you to offer this whole week. And I was like, crazy. So anyways, last week we got all the paperwork done, the money was transferred. Now I'm
Divine
building.
Intervention.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like Mr. Monopoly. I'm gonna just start building hotels with these
Stop
guys.
It.
Yeah, yeah. So
Stop.
The resort is beautiful what they built, but we're gonna work on another one in Panama, another one in Mexico, and it's gonna be part of our
future.
The Anti-Resort.
Okay.
And it's like the idea is, the type of people that would go there isn't your typical Hawaii or Cancun group.
No.
You know, it's like so different. And
no, you want genuine,
yeah,
wholesome.
Exactly. And it's
authentic.
A community. Have you seen the beach?
With Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Oh, you gotta see that movie. It's amazing. Anyways, it's just like that. It's like paradise. No one knows where you are. You're like hidden from everyone.
That's so cool.
And the community is super strong. Anyway, so I'm continuing to build Maxa because I think there's a lot we're gonna do. We're about to launch our app in a month. It's so exciting.
That is exciting.
There's a whole email marketing system we're gonna be building out. And then I've got this new focus, which is to build wealth by investing in these resorts. So that's pretty cool.
Congrats on everything. Seriously. James has a new baby boy. Not super new anymore, but he's the cutest. He always smiles just like James and his wife, or soon-to-be wife, actually. Both great, great people. I encourage you to reach out. Maxa Designs is amazing. James is way better than Maxa Designs. That's just a facet of who he is. Yeah. And just give him a call. And I hope that everything that he has shared with you guys and shared with me has inspired you to be better. That's really a common goal for all of our network. So have a good night, and thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
Thanks, James.